Last week I started the sermon, and as so often happens, I didn't finish it. So we're going to try to finish it today. Actually, we won't finish it, but we will. That's a kind of a little mystery. But last week we continued on that series that we've been on, God's Salvation Package. And we've talked about regeneration and adoption and redemption and maybe some others. And so last week we continued that, but we spoke on the subject of incarnation. And we said that incarnation is the foundation of God's entire package of salvation. Without incarnation, there wouldn't be any of the other glorious aspects of God's wonderful salvation, such as regeneration, adoption, redemption, justification, sanctification, glorification, and so on. And so incarnation is very important. Now, last week we covered the first 2 points of the sermon. The first point was the ruin of man before incarnation. And just briefly, we said that when God created man, he created man in his own image so that man could reflect God, man could have fellowship with God, God could commune with man face to face. And so man was placed there in the garden and they had that glorious, wonderful existence. And then the terrible thing happened in Genesis chapter 3 when Satan came, tempted Eve. She took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God had said, you must not eat of it because the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And so they died. God cast them out of the garden. They were separated from him. And ultimately, eventually, they would die physically because of their sin. But an even worse thing happened in their lives because within them, God had created them in his own image, in his own likeness. But that image of God that was within man that made it possible for them to enjoy fellowship with God, to be with God, to talk to God face to face, to give glory to God, that image became a broken, shattered image. That image became a fallen image. It became a distorted image that God could no longer recognize as his own. It became a dead image, separated from God. Second point that we talked about last week was the rescue of man by incarnation. And we talked about the fact that God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, determined from eternity past that man would sin. Through God's foreknowledge, he knew that he would create man. He knew that man would sin. And God determined that one of the Trinity would go and become a man, become a human being like us, so that he could become our Savior. We said that God the Son was willing to take on that task. And we kind of paraphrased Isaiah chapter 6 where the question was asked, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah responded, here am I, send me. And I said, back in eternity past, the Trinity asked that same question. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Jesus Christ the Son said, here am I, send me. And so it was that Jesus Christ the Son came into this earth on a rescue mission to rescue us from eternal condemnation. And today we're going to look at the third point in this sermon, the restoration of man through incarnation. For you see, when man was saved by the grace of God, we're just babes in Christ. We're sort of on life support. We can't stand alone and we can't be strong. So God's purpose in sending Jesus Christ into the world was not just to save us from the ruin that sin had brought, the destruction that our rebellion had caused. The ultimate goal was to restore us, restore all humanity to the lofty position that we had with God in the beginning before sin came and destroyed that blessed relationship. And so, rescue. Jesus came on a rescue mission. And there came a time when many of us, most of us, I hope all of us, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We were saved, but we were babes in Christ. We had that image of Christ, that image of God within our inner man that God had placed there when we had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was formed in the inner man. But for many of us, probably most of us, that image is not projecting outward the true likeness of Jesus Christ. Old illustration. I know we don't do it anymore, but the old slide projectors, when we would come home on furlough from Taiwan, and you know, I'd have about 100 slides, and you had a slide projector, and you'd set it up with your screen, and you'd show the slides, and you put the slide in the projector. And back in the early days, before they had autofocus, you'd change slides, it would be out of focus, and you would turn the lens until it was sharply in focus. Well, I think that's sort of the way we Christians are. We're saved by the grace of God. God has placed the true image of Jesus Christ within our hearts, but it does not shine sharply and in focus to the outward world where they can see the true image of God shining through our lives. So it's a process that must take place. It's a process we call sanctification, another one of those good salvation words. But God expected restoration from us. That was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming into the world. God's will is to complete the work begun when Jesus Christ rescued us from sin, when we were rescued out of darkness and given the title God's Son. God's will is to complete the work begun when Jesus rescued us from sin. You remember I mentioned the story, and I still haven't located that sign that I saw, and if any of you have any of you seen that sign that I was talking about, okay. I was close. Okay, thank you. Because I just saw it and out of the corner of my eye as I passed it one day, but there was this sign, and I'll go ahead and tell my version of it, Tim. Humpty Dumpty sitting up on top of the sign. And down below said, all the king's horses and all the king's men should have called us. But we said last week, all of the usses of the world can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again and cannot put a person back together again, that broken image that's in us, that distorted image, that dead image. Nothing that we can do with all the religions of the world, with all of the good works that men can do in the world. Nothing will accomplish that goal. But God's will. And so when Jesus Christ came and the Word, the eternal Word, the Creator Word, when He was made flesh and dwelt among us, then one came who could put Humpty Dumpty back together again, could restore that broken, shattered, distorted, dead image within man to be what God wanted us to be. Well, it's time to read our text today. Would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 24 through 29. And I'll ask you, if you will, to stand as we read this passage of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. You may be seated. Jesus Christ came into the world on a mission to rescue us and to restore us. And I'm a little leery of this, but I was thinking that even though you're not going to find this in the Bible, but I thought that the mission of Christ was sort of like a three-stage rocket. There should be a slide there of the Saturn V rocket, which was a three-stage rocket, which took the Apollo astronauts out into space and took them on their journey to the moon. Now, you've got that Saturn rocket. It has three stages. The first stage will lift it off and get it up into the air and going at a pretty good amount of speed, and then it will fall away, and the second stage will begin to burn and take it further, and then finally, the third stage, if they're on their way to the moon, will propel those astronauts on their journey up to the moon. And so it's a three-stage rocket, but it's one mission, and it's one goal. And I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and his incarnation as something like that, because we might say that stage one was when Christ left heaven's glory. He came to this earth. He was born of the Virgin Mary there in Bethlehem, and he became one of us so that he could identify with us and that he could qualify to become our Savior. Stage two in the life of Christ's incarnation would be Christ's life from birth to his ascension. And all of the things that happened from birth to his growing up in Nazareth and to his life until he was 30 and his ministry, and then his death on the cross, his burial, resurrection, and ascension back to heaven. But the mission was not over. It was not completed. It was not finished. For you see, and I certainly know and I believe that the purpose of the incarnation, the purpose of Christ coming into the world, the purpose of Christ dying on the cross was so that God could get all of the ultimate glory. But I also think that there was a mission, a goal, a purpose for Christ being born into this world. And the goal, the ultimate goal of that was he became a man so he could be one of us. He became a man so that he could die for us. He could qualify to be that perfect man who would offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross, and that our sins could be atoned for. But the goal, the ultimate goal of his mission, of incarnation, of coming to this earth, the ultimate goal was to restore the image of God in each of us. So that you and I, every single one of us, I am a creation of God. And God has created me for one purpose. To live for Him. To reflect His image. To reflect His glory. To reflect His nature and His character in the world. One mission that has spanned centuries. But the goal is to restore you and me. And so we're going to just look at this passage. And I see that I'm going to be battling the clock as usual. Let's just quickly go through this. The mystery of Christ in you. As I've read this passage from Colossians chapter 1. One of the words that comes up there in that passage is the word mystery. And we see the revelation of the mystery in verse 28:6. It says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints." You see, mystery in the New Testament is something that God had kept concealed in the Old Testament. But now, with the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, there is the opening up. There is the revealing, there is the unveiling of all of God's mysteries. Especially the mystery of salvation, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of Jews are going to be surprised when they find that a lot of us Gentiles are going to be in heaven with them. Because God has opened up that mystery, and they couldn't understand it in the Old Testament. In Paul's day, there were a lot of what was called mystery religions. The mystery religions confined their members to those who had been initiated into the mysteries. Okay? They didn't reveal those mysteries to the outside world. I remember when I was a young pastor, pastor in Mount Pleasant, Texas, just before we went to Taiwan, and one of my pastors who is in the next town over, I went to visit him one day, and he was meeting with a group from the Masonic Lodge. And I was encouraged, I was asked to join the Masonic Lodge. The problem is, in order to join the lodge, you've got to join before you know the secrets. Before they will open up the secrets of the Masonic Lodge. And I said, no thank you. If it's a secret organization that I can't know what it's all about before I join, I don't want to be a part of it. Sort of like the Affordable Care Act, you know, Nancy Pelosi. What she said was, you know, we've got to pass it so you know what's in it. And the mysteries are being revealed week by week, and they're not good. But God, in His love, has opened up the mysteries through His Word in the New Testament to let us know all the good things that God has for us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the riches of the mystery. Verse 27, he says, "The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The riches of the glory of this mystery. Wow. You know, back in the Old Testament, the word glory, the root word translated glory, meant heavy. And what it meant was, that guy had glory because in his sack, in his saddlebags or whatever, he had a lot of gold or a lot of silver or a lot of precious jewels that were heavy. And that was his glory. Well, I'm here to tell you that today we've got glory. the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so this morning, Christ's rescue mission was not just to save us from sin so that we can have a free ticket to heaven, but Christ's mission in coming to this world was to restore us to be the people God created us to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." Notice that. The image. What image is that? The image of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you and I, day by day, week by week, as God takes us through His training program in this life, God is changing us. God is transforming us. God is molding us to be the people that He wants us to be. Transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And it's not like the Affordable Care Act. Every day gets better and better. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, back to that slide projector again. The light of God shining from heaven on the face of Jesus Christ in my heart, shining outward, so that day by day, as God molds me and perfects me and matures me, the people who see me, know me, interact with me, they can have a sharper, clearer picture of who God is and what He wants them to be. God's light shines into our heart. That light reflects the image of Christ to us. And God's plan is that image will get brighter and brighter, sharper and sharper, clearer and clearer, until the Lord takes us home to be with Him. The reason for the mystery. Verse 28 again. "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ." The reason for the mystery. He says we're to preach Christ. That's what our business is. I've got Christ living in me. I want the world to have that same Christ that I have. I want them to know Him as I know Him. And so I preach Christ. I let that light of Christ that's within me shine out to the world. Our command is go preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature in the world. To preach the gospel is to preach Christ. And then not only are we to preach Christ, but we're to present every man. Look at that verse again, verse 28. "That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." You see, here at our church, here at every church, or every group of Christians, wherever they are meeting around the world, our goal, our purpose, is to restore us all to be what God wants us to be. Okay? The perfecting. And I know none of us are perfect. I certainly know I'm not perfect. But I've always liked those t-shirts that says, "God is not through with me yet." I know that the process continues to go on. And the purpose, the goal of it all is that we may present every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, perfect in Christ Jesus, that we can be mature, complete, what God created us to be. And then perfecting, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. It's a process. It's something that begins at our salvation, when we're rescued out of sin, but we're moving in that direction, perfecting us. Last point, the miracle of Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a great scripture that is. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. The greatest miracle, C.S. Lewis called the incarnation the grand miracle. He wrote in his book on miracles, in chapter 14, he said, the central miracle asserted by Christians is the incarnation. Every other miracle prepares for this, or exhibits this, or results from this. It was the central event in the history of the earth, the very thing that the whole story has been about. The whole story is about the incarnation. Without it, Christ would not have come. Without it, Christ would not have lived. Without it, Christ would not have died. Without it, we would be lost in our sins. So the first stage of that miracle of Christ coming into the world that we've already mentioned, Christ born of Mary in Bethlehem. Second stage, Christ living among us as one of us. And as one of us, he lived and faced every temptation without sin. That was a miracle, that a human being could live his entire life without sin. He modeled God's perfect man in the world. He died on the cross as the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God for the sins of the world. He rose again by the power of God. Truly a great miracle. But the third stage, he talks about the greatest possession, Christ in you. You see, we all perhaps are a little prideful sometimes of our earthly possessions, how much money we've got in the bank, or how much money we've got in investments, or houses, or cars we own, or whatever. But the greatest possession, the only possession that will stand the test of time and eternity, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, we used it last week. It's one of my favorite verses. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. My poverty without Christ in me. Wow. Without Christ, I would be nothing. Without Christ, I'm just a lump of clay. Without Christ, I would spend eternity in hell. But my plenty, my riches with Christ in me. Wow. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember, glory means riches. It means something heavy, treasure. We have a treasure. Well, another great verse is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. Christ lives in me, Paul said. If you read through the life of Paul, and we're going to read some verses in just a moment, the things he endured, the things he faced, the things he went through, sufferings, persecutions, trials, tribulations, all of those things. But if Paul could stand here today, he would say, it was worth it all because I had Christ in me, my hope of glory. The greatest possession, the greatest prospect, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The miracle of the new birth, Christ in you, hope of glory. Born again, a child of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ, a miracle. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is not in the slide. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And so when we come to that place of faith in Jesus Christ, there is that miracle of new creation. When Jesus Christ takes up residence in us, we don't have to have time to cover that aspect of it, but we're in Him as well. The miracle of Christ in us. I just want to take some time this morning in closing to read from Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 17. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but several of them. First of all, verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, what do you think that treasure is that he's talking about? What do you think that treasure is? I think it's certainly the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in us. In the earthen vessels. That's us. That's these old clay vessels that we live in that are so frail. A lot of us lately have found out how frail our bodies are. Flu and colds and other sickness, other viruses have kept people out of church today. But we have this treasure, the miracle of Christ in us, verses 8 through 11. Let me read these verses. This is Paul's testimony. This is a testimony of Paul's life. And here's what he said. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body, this old fleshly, earthen body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. See, that's the whole purpose and goal of God saving you and me. So that through our daily life and experiences that we can manifest the life of Jesus Christ to the world. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. You see, this mortal flesh, this old earthly body, the purpose, Paul says, is to manifest the life of Jesus to the world. Then the miracle of Christ in us, verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. There's that presentation again. One of these days, when the Lord comes back, we're all going to be stand before God's throne in heaven. And he will present us with you. We're all going to be there together. And then, miracle of Christ in us, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, what does the word renewed mean? Does it mean restored? It means you take something and you put it back into its original condition, its new condition. And I know that's kind of hard to do. One of the hobbies that I wish I could afford would be restoring antique cars. And I see some of the programs on History Channel where they take these old cars and they restore them, and they probably look better than they did when they were brand new. Well, Paul says that our life today, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that the process is God is renewing you, restoring you, day by day, step by step, closer and closer to being what God originally created you to be. The image of God in you, reflecting His honor and His glory, and enjoying the fellowship with Him. And then the last verses 17 and 18, the miracle of Christ in us. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's that glory again. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The miracle, an eternal weight of glory. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? To know that our light affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, I know that we go through trials and tribulation of all different kinds. But ultimately, as we remain faithful to the Lord and let Him work in our lives, we will receive that eternal weight of glory, that riches of glory that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And so this morning, we're going to stand and have our hymn of invitation. Brother Robert will come and lead us. And I pray that if you've been one who's, you know you're saved by the grace of God, but you know that